I invite you to stand now for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Our gospel lesson comes to us from the gospel according to John, the 20th chapter, beginning in verse 1 through verse 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in there, and he saw that the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The first Easter that I remember going to church. Now, I remember Easters like at my grandmother's house, my mom's mom. She was the one that always hosted Easter stuff. And we would have, you know, we would have ham. But she did stuff to ham that I didn't really like. Like, she would jam cloves into it and put a bunch of raisins on it, which I think is an assault on ham. And so I would eat it, but it was not my favorite. My favorite was the potato salad, and I liked it because it was savory and it had boiled eggs and it had olives in it. And sometimes, if it was fancy, she would put capers in there too. I loved that potato salad. Still do. My mom makes it sometimes, and I'll just curl up with the big bowl of it and get healthy. But those are the first Easters that I remember. The first church services that I remember were at Westwood Christian Church, where my dad's parents went to church, Nina and Dinaha. And don't ask me where those names came from. My cousin Camille was the first grandchild, and she got to name them, and that's what she named them. I have no other explanation than Camille's just a little bit crazy. But Nina and Dinaha went to Westwood Christian Church. And we would go with them on Easter Sunday. That was where we went to church on Easter Sunday. And I remember being there with my grandfather. My grandfather always wore a hat to church. And he always wore a shirt and tie. And he was always dressed well. He was bald on top. And when he started losing his hair, he just shaved it. He didn't want to keep it anymore. He didn't want to wear a toupee. He didn't want to do the thing where you kind of grow this side long and swoop it over. He started going bald, and he just said, take it off. And so every few weeks, he'd go back and have it shaved. Sometimes he'd do it himself. But I remember sitting there with him, and he loved to sing. I remember singing the Easter songs with him. He was an amazing man. He started a boys' ranch, and I've mentioned him in here before around this. He started a boys' ranch in Gonzales. The ranch is now gone, but the building's still there. It's a charter school now in Escambia County. And every now and then, we'll ride by there, and I'll kind of peek down the road off of old Kim Strand where the ranch was. Some of my earliest memories are running around there with all kinds of farm animals and having dirt clod wars and all of that, just right there in Gonzales. My grandfather meant a lot to me growing up. Every occasion had a song that went with it. And it was usually a hymn or a song of faith. He had a Bible in every room, and he had one in his car. He used to read to us out of it. We used to read back to him. My sister would read to him even though she couldn't read. She would read stories to him out of the Bible. Three Little Pigs, maybe one you're familiar with. She read that one out of the Bible. Some others, Hansel and Gretel, which is in there tucked somewhere. I haven't found it yet, but my sister read it out of the Bible, so I'm sure it's there. Those were my earliest Easters. Sitting beside him while my grandmother was in the choir and being together on days just like this. I remember Easters where it rained. I remember the rain coming off the eaves at Westwood Christian Church. And it was an odd day because the sun was shining, but the rain was coming down, and you could see a rainbow as the water hit the ground. It made that mist, and you could see a rainbow in it. When my grandfather died, I remember sitting in Westwood Christian Church for his funeral, sure that this would not be the last time that I saw him. Death is always a part of Easter. You don't get Easter without death. You don't get to have this day of celebration without a day of deep mourning and grief. Over the course of this week, we have read the story of Jesus and his disciples. We've read the story over and over again of the way that his disciples abandoned him, the way that he was betrayed by one of them, the way that he was tried by his own people, the way that they, out of fear for their own security, were willing to sacrifice him so that order might be maintained. They were willing to nail him to a cross so that the people wouldn't get too wrapped up in this reality that he was revealing to them. We saw how Jesus went to a place by himself to pray, and he asked the disciples to stay awake for a little bit and pray that they may not come into the time of trial like he is. And so he goes up and he's praying, and he asks God, please God, deliver us from this. And if there's any way that this cup may pass from me, let it be so. But at the last, it's your will, not mine, that must be done. We read that story over and over again, and I'm going to tell you, every time we come to that place in the Scripture where he says, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I keep thinking that maybe this will be the time where God spares him, where God says, you know what, son, you've done enough. but he never does. It's always right after that that the Roman soldiers show up with the temple police, and Judas comes up and kisses him on the cheek. And we know that the story's going to keep going the way that it always has. That death is going to say something in this story. And it does. They wind up taking him and crucifying him, and burying him in a tomb. Death has something to say in that story. Death has had something to say to us this week. I mean, we gathered on Palm Sunday, we heard that story of Jesus, but then we gathered that afternoon in this very room, and we celebrated the life of Giles Chapman. Acknowledging the reality of death in our shared life together. And yesterday evening I got word that Dot Faircloth had died. And came to realize that on this day, this Easter Sunday, we'll acknowledge the brokenness that remains around us. That death is still a part of our conversation, that death is still a part of our lives. It keeps happening. It keeps happening over and over again. The people that we know, the people that we love, the people that we are sure are going to make it out of it this time. We have this feeling that maybe, just maybe, Jesus will get out of this thing without being crucified. And we have this feeling that maybe, just maybe, we'll get out of life alive. So we need this reality to understand what today means for us. Our faith, this Christian faith we share, as Dr. Wesley Walkup, one of the pastors in our conference, is known to say, this faith was a faith born in a graveyard. I mean, Mary Magdalene showed up at the tomb not expecting resurrection. She showed up at the tomb expecting death. She was ready to go tend to the body of Jesus. She was ready to go and do the work of the people to ensure that the body of Jesus was loved and cared for in its death, just as it had been in its life. This was part of the practice of the custom of the Jewish people, and she was living into that beautifully and faithfully. She went to the place expecting death. God be praised, that was not what she found there. She found the most incredible gift ever given. The tomb was empty. She didn't know exactly what that meant at that moment. She wasn't quite sure. So she ran back to the disciples and said, y'all, the stone's rolled away, the tomb is empty. I don't know what they've done with Jesus. He's gone. And so when the disciples hear about it, two of them, Peter and who we assume to be John, take off and run to the tomb, right? And what we learn in this is that John is faster than Peter. Okay? Now, when you write your own gospel, you can be the fast one. Okay? That's how that works. So John outran Peter, got there first. And Peter comes trembling up behind him. And they look in. And they see the empty tomb. And it says they believed. But here's the interesting part. They don't believe in resurrection here. What they believe is that the tomb is empty. Mary went and told them the tomb was empty. And so they ran to the tomb and looked in and said, yep, it's empty. We don't know where he is. And they left. And Mary stood at the tomb weeping. Weeping because for her, her work was not done. Death was still a part of her life. mourning was still a part of her life. And so she wept at the entrance to the tomb. And then these wonderful words from Jesus. Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you sad? Why are you mourning today? And she has her back to him. You only get this if you read the scripture closely. She has her back to him. I'll tell you how I know in just a second. She has her back to him. Like this. Hey, y'all. I'm going to preach to the choir for a second. She has her back to him. And she hears over her shoulder, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says, "Because they've taken him, and I don't know where they've laid him." She's presuming him to be the gardener, because that's who you would hear over your voice here. And then she hears him say, "Mary." There's an exclamation point in it, in the scripture. "Mary." And she turns. It says it. It says she turned around. Her back was to him. It says, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. "Mary." And she said, "Teacher. Teacher." She did not expect resurrection, but she found it. She expected death, and it wasn't there. My grandfather died in April. He died on April 6th, which was a Tuesday. And the following Sunday was Easter. We had his service on Thursday of that week, knowing that the next day was Good Friday. Now, I remember sitting in that sanctuary, not worried. I was 10. I sat in that sanctuary and I wasn't worried, because I knew that Sunday was Easter. And I knew what happened on Easter. There was a little part of me that thought, when Easter comes, he's going to be raised from the dead. It's a weird flip. Mary went to the tomb expecting death and finding life. And I sat there in that congregation expecting life on that Easter Sunday. But what I heard from God was, "Not yet. Not yet." The church, when they gathered for worship early on, gathered in the graveyards. As I said, this was a faith born in a graveyard at an empty tomb. And they believed that Jesus was coming again soon. And so when they worshiped, they would go to the graveyards. They would sit in the graveyards and worship together, because when the resurrection came, they didn't want to miss it. Jesus had warned them over and over again to be ready, to be prepared, because when the resurrection comes, it's going to come like you would never expect, and it's going to be amazing, but you got to be ready. And so they tried their best to be ready all the time. They went to the graveyards just in case today was the day. And they sat there among their dead, and they prayed among their dead, and they sang songs among their dead, expecting life to come. Now, they met in those graveyards for a couple of reasons. One, we talked in Sunday school this morning, and Robin Parker said, because nobody would mess with them. And I said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yes, nobody would mess with them in the graveyard. There were also times of persecution where the church needed to get away. And in Rome especially, the graveyards were underground. They were the catacombs. And so the Christian church would meet in the catacombs, sometimes under persecution. But that was not why they met there. It was just convenient that that was happening. They met underground in the catacombs, not because they were under persecution, but because that's where the dead were, and they wanted to be there for the resurrection. They went expecting life. Over time, I think we've forgotten that innocent reality of coming to the place where the dead are and expecting them to live. I've been reminded over this week that death is all around us. Some folks in Sri Lanka this morning went to church to celebrate resurrection. It was the last thing that they did. If for us, we are going to come up against the last thing we ever do. It could be 80 years from now, it could be right now. May the last thing we ever do be to expect life. The world gives us enough death. The world gives us enough brokenness. Hang on to the life that Christ offers us. When that tomb was opened and he strolled out, after taking the time to unwind the wrapping from his head, folding it up neatly, placing it in a place by itself, and going out into the world that had tried to consume him, the world that had tried to kill him, the world that had tried to annihilate him, the world that had tried its best to bring everything that he stood for to a ruinous end. He walked back out into that world with the same love that he demonstrated on the cross. He didn't go out ready to be vengeful against the world that killed him. He went out to save a world that had killed him. He went out into death expecting life. That's all he wants from us. That's what living resurrection is. It's not falling into the patterns of brokenness that the world shows us. It's stepping boldly into a world that has as part of its character the annihilation of goodness, of hope, of light. But that's not why the world was made. The world was made to be the setting for God to be in relationship with God's people. And so as we go forth today, as we walk into the world, into the broken places, into the wounded places, into the hurting places, go expecting to find life there. Go as a people of hope. Go as a people of light. Go as a people of resurrection, because this is who we are. We're a people whose faith is born in a graveyard. We're a people who will not give in to death. We're a people who will stand before death and smile, because we know that this isn't the end for us. This is Easter, y'all. This is why we're here. This is why the church exists. This is where our hope is made. This is where our promise is fulfilled. Go forth this day as a people of Easter, as a people of resurrection, as a people of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.